RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Anthony Heron, Score Football Analyst.
I was in the green room at the Big Ten Network last night, and then when the moment happened that Caleb Williams went deep, threw the bomb to DJ Moore, at that point I was all yelled out. I was just exhausted by then with all the different screens and the stimulus and the notes and just seeing that. I was actually quiet at that point. The touchdown at the end of regulation, I let out the big yell. The touchdown that closed the show, I let an exhale because I didn't know what else to do.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Anthony Heron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Heron, number 99.
Mr. Heron, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Heron on 670 The Score.
Anthony Heron joins us on Mondays here. This is a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And we have no victory chicken today because the Bears lost.
Oh,
which
very
stinks.
Disappointing.
But we have Anthony Heron in, which feels like a win.
Okay.
Ant is analyst for Fox 32. He is an analyst for Big Ten Network. And he also, of course, works with us at 670 The Score. And Ant, being a former defensive lineman...
Are you
what were
okay,
your
by the
thoughts
you,
on the game last night?
Are you comfy?
I'm getting there, yeah.
You're
having
a problem here, Layla.
First of all.
I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, yeah, man, I'm great in that regard. But the chair itself, I think, is what Groats is asking about right now. I'm making some adjustments. You know, the lumbar support, I'm kind of figuring that out. I'm getting the arms adjusted so my elbows aren't way up here. Trying to get the height situated. But I think we got there by the time we got live on the air.
We have to do better as a show when we have guests in studio.
Well, I will say, I walked in and Layla immediately helped me figure out how to reconfigure the chair so you could have the chair you're already in.
Yeah.
And
I didn't want him to have
this
chair,
chair over here.
I don't like it when he's standing and we're all sitting. It feels weird.
Yeah.
Well, and especially because the mic's here at my height, it's a little difficult sometimes. Like, I know you've kept yours low, Marshall. You're almost my height, probably about my height. And for some reason, you haven't actually raised yours up a little
bit.
The way
my knees work, I need my legs connected to the floor, so it's got to be low enough that my legs connect to the floor.
Molly and Hall like it, like high chair, man. They're like at the ceiling.
If you've ever seen David Hall, is like basically it's his hips
ridiculous.
Are where Mark's neck is.
Yeah, it's so odd. But anyway.
Right.
Bears.
Such
bears.
Bears. We haven't said Bears today.
Bears.
Did they not earn any Bears?
I don't know. The offense
You're
did.
You're the arbiter of Bears.
I am. That is right.
I still feel like the Bobs, and you know, you do the post game show, although that yeah, would be in the middle of the night last night. But you know how it is. Like, this is it's fun. I said it was very Pac-12 after dark. I think isn't it?
Right?
There were so many random things that
definitely
were Pac-12. Caleb Williams, USC, Christian McCaffrey, Stanford. Todd just went to Cal. You got the random Cal dude, which is very Pac-12 after dark.
I like that.
And, like, the weird plays were very Pac-12. A lot of it was very, yes.
Yeah.
So all that
random
said,
defensive lineman at fullback for apparently no reason. But there was a lot of stuff. There
yes,
stuff
yeah,
going
Daniel
on.
Hardy and Ben tried. He tried on that one. Trick plays. There was a lot of Pac-12 after dark happening last night.
Very
but that
so.
Also means no defense. So you get the callers who are offended by the lack of defense. So where do you stand?
I mean, being offended by the lack of defense, I think it makes sense. And partly because we are now, as we've kind of progressively discussed more and more throughout the season, we are judging this team by a different standard. Now, my relative disappointment with the result isn't at the same pitch that it will be a year from now. I'm still allowing myself to kind of be in la-la land about the way this season is going right now. But as far as just hoping for a deep playoff run, we know they're making the playoffs. We know they've won the division. We know they're going to host at least one home game. But if we're looking at a squad that can make a deep playoff run, especially with some of the quarterbacks the offenses in the NFC this postseason to mount a more capable, more comparable defense with some of the other defenses out there, to have playmakers in that front seven, especially on the defensive front, to your point, Layla, is not showing up right now. They've been able to manufacture defense. And I think we do need to factor in the opponent last night, because punting was not something San Francisco was burdened with prior to last night's game this entire month. So if you want to, you know, take a Hass's glass full sort of look at this thing, they made him punt twice and they got a pick six. That's more than anybody else is doing against the Niners in recent weeks.
Yeah, because the teams in question that you're comparing them to are the freaking Colts and the Titans. I would say this, and here's my question to you. To me, this was a reality check game, because you're going to face good quarterbacks in the playoffs. That's the reality. You're not going to see any more scrub quarterbacks for the rest of the season, the rest of 2025, and into what you're hoping is early 2026. Are the Niners the best team in the NFC based on the fact that Brock Purdy is 7-1 as a starter this year, and the only loss came to the Jags, and you know how good the Jags are?
They're definitely in the conversation. I wouldn't look at them and say definitively they're that, because their defense is so porous. And they, a couple of their studs are out, obviously Bosa, Warner, you don't have either one of them. They don't mount any kind of relative pass rush. And that was one of the most comfortable games we've seen Caleb Williams have from within the pocket. And that's one thing that stood out to me, just in the way he executed the game plan. And Ben Johnson came in and it seemed pretty apparent to have a game plan that, yes, we're going to move the pocket. Yes, we're going to run the football. But Ben Johnson was really confident that I can protect Caleb in this game, and that Caleb can read the field, see it cleanly, get the ball out on time. And we've seen this continued growth and progression there. And the San Francisco defense is a factor in that. Ben Johnson has said constantly throughout the season, we want to be an offense that can do whatever we need to do to win the game. Balance doesn't necessarily have to mean 50% run, 50% pass. The true meaning of balance in modern football is, can you do what needs to be done to advance the football, to score points, to beat the opposing defense? And we're seeing the Bears turn into that, but the Niners and their porous defense, that's a big part of why I don't view them as the surefire top team in the conference, because they don't come up with stops, and the Bears made it look like that.
Yeah, I wrote down that phrase you just mentioned. So I wrote it right there, Big Ant. The Bears have to manufacture defense, and like that's not good.
Because it's not a personnel advantage, seemingly.
Right.
Like who's your one-on-one that you say, our dude is just going to dominate that guy across from him? Got a lot of guys who play hard, and the schematics of Dennis Allen certainly have gotten them to a quality position. The takeaways matter a bunch, but you don't turn on the all 22 of the Bears defense and say, that dude is just wrecking shop. He took over a full series because of what he did.
It's a great point. They don't have that guy. Even the guy who's supposed to be that guy from a secondary standpoint in Jalen Johnson, in theory, your best player, is not the Bears' best player. I mean, he's struggling right now. Jalen Johnson is. Nashawn Wright was struggling last night as well. Montez Sweat, you're right, he's not that game record type. So I guess it brings me to, you can't fix that now, right? I mean, like, it's on Dennis Allen to continue to manufacture defense, isn't it? So all the pressure, it feels like, is on Dennis Allen, and that's a pretty good guy to have the pressure on, considering his resume of being a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I would say that, and here's the hopeful aspect of this, because the Bears' defense they haven't been dominant the entire year anyway. So this isn't new. This isn't news. There have been stretches where the run defense has been better. Part of that ended up becoming, it got to a point where once the flip happened at linebacker, where T.J. Edwards was exclusively the Mike linebacker, Tremaine Edmonds exclusively the Will, Andrew Billings into the lineup as a guy hitting blocks on the interior, the run defense got much, much better. And that was even without Kyler Gordon in there, but then you had C.D. Deuce coming in there and being a guy who could be your force-contained player situationally with the run D, and we know how physical Jaquan Brisker is. So as the personnel was at its best, it was a better run defense. Right now, the hope, I think, can be that what we saw last night from Tremaine Edmonds is still a little bit of rust. T.J. Edwards, you know, still getting the club figured out. The Bears fans watching that San Francisco offense, who maybe haven't watched as much of the current version of the 49ers, saw a lot of the very similar run schemes and principles to what Ben Johnson has excelled at so much with this Bears run game. I just saw a second and third level of the Bears run defense that looked hesitant, looked a step behind, because there's all that window dressing that we've been raving about from Ben Johnson in the Bears run game. the 49ers have that within their scheme, and they've got Christian McCaffrey running the rock. And it hasn't been a dominant run game throughout the season, but part of that has been because they've been so beat up in other places, and Brock Purdy wasn't out there that much, and you know, they've got good but not great receivers. But the run game for San Francisco, it proved to be something really tough for the Bears to solve.
Our segment with Anthony Herron is sponsored by Plumbers 911. Plumbing emergency? Call the plumbing professionals available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. And Ant, I think that that's what we saw. Ben Johnson gives you examples when he talks. He says you don't always have to run the ball in order to utilize play action. There was perhaps no better example of that than the 49ers running the ball in the first half, utilizing pre-snap motion and play action to get the Bears to show them some of the looks that they had, because we know Dennis Allen likes to put a lot of people up front. Is it really going to be a blitz? Is it going to be a check down? Is it really going to be man, or is it going to be zone? And that was really effective when it came to decoding a lot of what we saw the Bears do against other teams effectively.
And that's a part of the continued growth with the Bears offense. And Brock Purdy has obviously been in the Shanahan system for his entire career now. So you see that comfort that's consistently there with him right now. But part of it is that ability to utilize all the eye candy, all the misdirection, all the putting defenders in conflict to help diagnose pre-snap what's expected, and then post-snap to be able to make a decision on who should be the one to get the rock, whether it's within the run scheme or the throw game. And that offense, just similar to this Bears offense, gives so many options to the quarterback. Now for San Francisco, oddly enough, as great as the 49ers offense is, they don't have as wide a variety of playmakers available to them right now as the Bears, especially when you throw in the fact that George Kittle didn't even play in the game last night. They lose Trent Williams on the first snap of the game. But that system and Shanahan as a play caller and having a quarterback who just knows how to operate pre-snap and where to get the football to, and the consistency of Brock Purdy's accuracy, all those things show up to where when you have the best in the business mentally and the offense gets the marker last on the grease board, there's a lot of options there. But between McCaffrey and Kittle, those are two future Hall of Famers right there. They've been able to carry the 49ers offense even without Brandon Ayuk, and you know, having this version of Juwan Jennings, career year for him, but he's not an elite level wideout, but it's been enough for them to get to this elite level of offense we've seen over the past month plus.
This segment with Anthony Herron, sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. And
now, do you think, by the way, do you think San Francisco is the best team in the NFC, Marshall?
I think that they're a problem, and I expect them to win this Sunday, so they're going to be the number one seed. That's what I think. I think that their offense, I think you're right about their defense being porous, but I think because it's Kyle Shanahan, and you just spoke to it, the comfort level that Brock Purdy has in this offense and knowing exactly what they have, what they don't have, they're as well prepared an offense as any offense is for the playoffs. They're in rhythm. You saw it yesterday, and not that the Bears are world beaters on defense, but I think based on their track record and what they've been able to do this season, that they're going to be the number one seed. And so it opens to a lot of questions. I think the Bears can beat them. I think they're beatable, like you said, but I think they're the best team in a team in a league with a lot of flawed teams, a conference, I should say, with a lot of flawed teams. Although it's a league with a lot of flawed teams, I think that's where I stand on it. But looking forward, Bears need to face the Packers at home, and they also need to have the option to have two home games if they win their first game. So they got to play their starters this week.
So you are looking forward to them facing the Packers? Are you saying they should make sure they try to avoid the Packers?
No, they need to face the Packers. Okay. They should avoid the NFC West for as long as possible.
I got you.
Is that a fair statement? Are we aligned?
I agree with that. Yeah, I'd rather see Green Bay again than see one of these NFC West
squads. So they should play their starters this weekend, correct?
Well, yeah, I think regardless of that, I tend to be a proponent of playing the starters, even if the coach doesn't address it with the team and say, starters, you're going to get two quarters or something like that. Prepare for the week like this is going to be the Super Bowl on the line. And then if you decide 2.5 quarters in, all right, you know what? Let me go ahead and pull DeAndre Swift. Let me go ahead and, all right, let me pull Caleb Williams, and maybe I'll see if I, because, you know, you only got 45 bodies to put out there, so you can't just pull all the starters in a regular season finale anyway. But to sort of, you know, systematically make some choices and get some guys out of the lineup, you can do that.
The only reason I feel so strongly about this is I've been told the expectations, as you guys were talking about, has changed. If you're trying to go to the Super Bowl, you ain't trying to play multiple games on the road.
You win this game.
The Bears have been pretty damn good on the road this year, too.
I hear you. I just saw what happened on the road, though. Do you feel better about them at Soldier Field or on the road?
I mean, the defense is the defense. I mean, a mediocre defense is going to travel and be a mediocre defense, too. So that, to me, that's not as big of a factor and a concern just for where they're at health-wise. That, to me, is the bigger issue versus, just given my druthers, I'd rather face Green Bay than one of the NFC West squads. But as far as pulling guys from the lineup, it's more about who's over these illnesses. Where's Luther Burden at with this lower body injury? Those types of things. You know, would Tremaine Edmonds benefit from, a little bit of additional rest or whatever? To me, he looks physically fine. I see a rusty version of Edmonds right now at the moment. So I think the relative health of the team is a bigger concern for who's in and out of the lineup in the finale.
Do you believe what, going back to the Bears offense, and we'll get into Caleb too. We really haven't touched much on Caleb, but what specifically Luther Burden and Colston Loveland have done, have the Bears just kind of put on a development clinic with those two guys? And my God, like, I'm saying things are coming out of my mouth that
that would have just seemed like a dream world a few years ago.
Right. Not only winning, but you're seeing individual growth, which is what makes it sustainable, which is always what is prompted my personal cynicism when it comes to the Chicago Bears. When you see players develop, that's sustainable stuff right there. Been a heck of a year for those two rookies.
It has. And even within the prism of just viewing last night's game, when you think about a couple of the drops they had on that final series, in my mind, that immediately goes to the stamina that veteran players have in a big game, what felt like a critical game, and in a big raucous environment with the number one seed on the line. But you got no Rome Odunze, and you've got a fraction of DJ Moore because he was barely going to play in the game dealing with this illness that's ravaged the locker room. So Luther Burden has to carry the passing attack. Colston Loveland is getting more volume to his touches and targets than he's accustomed to. And it's in a game with a lot on the line. So it's not only the physical stamina necessary for that, but the mental stamina. It's one thing to get it in doses. Like, hey, Colston, here's your five targets. And okay, three of them are going to be on third down or in a big moment. But to be locked in and execute there is a different task than we're going to throw the ball more than we've thrown it the entire season. And you're going to be a huge part of it, kid, as a rookie. There's a mental stamina that it takes to stay locked in and focused. And some of these long drives that they're starting to mount in the second half, and so much of it being on Burden and Loveland, that to me is a great learning lesson, a great opportunity to continue to look at and say, you know what? Maybe I wasn't quite at my peak in the fourth quarter. They both made plays, and I love the response from that.
Yeah.
But that to me, the rookies with a couple of key drops on some beautiful passes, maybe you're getting a touchdown happening there from some things not quite going your way. These are all opportunities to learn and grow for these young playmakers.
More with Anthony Herron, our Score Football analyst, coming up next here on Raheemy Harrison Grody. Let's get into the discussion about what we saw out of Caleb Williams in the offense. And then also, I think, how this plays out in the coming week. And then, ultimately, let's say it together, the playoffs! Yay! We'll do it all next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
So last 2 weeks, you know, primetime games, high stakes, playing against playoff opponents. Mm-hmm. You guys are right there with both of them, one versus the other. What do you feel like you guys have proven? I know you have a lot of confidence in the building, but what have you shown everybody else?
I mean, we know who we are. We know exactly what we need to be able to do to win games. And if it comes down to it, we know that we're going to give ourselves the best shot to be able to do it. And that's something that we've known. It's something that we've worked on. It's something that the confidence from all the work and things like that throughout the time, the games that we've had, has grown for these type of moments. And so, yeah, we fall short in this situation, but we've been on the other side of it, and we know, we can be a lot better here coming up.
That is Caleb Williams. Dare I say, living in the known? No. Confident Caleb Williams, yes. Also, I think...
I've been thinking about that lately, too. Yeah, I feel like this is proof positive that they've been living in the known. Is it not, Mark Grote?
What is living in the known?
Oh, don't do this.
Yep.
What does it mean that they're doing it? Does living in the known mean he threw for 330 yards? If that's what it is, I'm in. I accept that living in the known is Caleb Williams throwing for 330 yards. Is that what it is? I still don't know.
Last night it was.
It's confidence in the game plan.
Still can't tell me what it is.
Remember, Anthony answered the question a couple weeks ago, and you didn't hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you were looking at your phone or something. That was hilarious.
For the record, he had gotten important information on his phone. We're not preventing anybody from being adults here.
Yeah.
But no, you conveniently got that information at a very appropriate time.
Okay. Well, what do we really want to waste time going through all this?
No, that's my point. Okay. We have very limited time with Anthony.
Living in the known, Mark, is a manner of being.
What did you think
living
about,
in the known
what
is,
did you think about Caleb Williams' game last night?
I can love you better than I can.
You think you can love it better?
What concept are you? Hold on. If there was a toolbox of concepts, which one are you okay with?
A toolbox of concepts? I don't know. What are my choices?
Confidence, number one.
Right? Okay.
Buying yourself flowers is also an example of confidence.
Oh. Very true.
It is snowing hard outside of the mighty Prudential
Towers.
Every
time we try
right
to answer living in the known, he's like a squirrel just getting distracted by things outdoors.
By literal flurries, because it's not even snowing that hard. It's just flurries.
Do you know what I'm going to say? Also, somebody on the text line pointed out that poor Chewbacca did not get honored properly, as opposed to our Take the North ceremony, where Mark did get honored properly. So, think of your Wookiees.
Wait, what
today.
Did I miss with Chewie? What happened with
I don't
Chewie?
Know. I
well,
just
he
made
wasn't
noise
honored
going.
Properly, you know, in the ceremony. Remember, Han Solo got honored, but not Chewie, and that's kind of rude.
Oh, at
the they put the dog in the corner. Well, he's a dog, you know.
Listen, how dare you do that to
Wookie.
Chewbacca from Star Wars?
He is a Wookiee, sir. Yeah.
Apparently, asking Mark Grote existential questions provides some sort of trigger. So I will keep note
Williams.
Of that as your friend and your colleague. And I will move forward.
Okay. What do you think about Caleb Williams last
I can buy myself. No, Caleb was exceptional.
Can he buy himself
flowers? Flowers.
Write my name in the
he
same.
Should have flowers. Ryan Poole should have a sash this week.
There
and
we
Caleb
go.
Williams deserves some flowers.
Like they're about to go to Prime or something.
Adelaide.
No, I think he was exceptional again. Oh. And what really impressed me last night was that, they punted the first couple series or something like that. But
there was you're not going to just skim over that like the big three
I don't remember
outs.
If it was like one or two.
It was two 3-and-outs in a row to start the game, and that's a large reason why they were behind the entire game.
They punted twice in the National Football League. They're not going to mount a drive every time they take the field
their
on offense.
The 49ers
so bad. They scored 21 points in the first half, Marshall. It's not like they didn't come to life.
Oh, now you want to get existential?
Here's what I known.
Pick six.
I known that the Bears scored 21 points
in the
first half.
A third of that was from the defense
night.
Is my point. And when we get to the playoffs, all the other offenses are capable of what we saw, except for the Eagles. All the other offenses. Well, and the NFC South champion.
Okay, exactly.
But everybody else, those NFC West teams are all capable of doing
just
what we just saw.
Just to clarify.
And maybe the Packers.
Were you not impressed with the Bears offense in the first half?
Were you not entertained?
I was impressed with the Bears' offense for the totality of the game, but I'm not going to ignore
first
it.
First half. I mean, second half, okay, that's obvious. Let's throw the second half out. Just in the first half of the game, did you not feel like the Bears mounted an earlier start to their offensive excellence than what they normally do?
I think compared to their very last most recent showing, which I froze through, they definitely did. But before that, I would argue they were just as good against Cleveland and just as good against, who was before Cleveland? Green Bay the first, well.
No.
Green Bay the first time. Yes, they were better. But
they punted on the first two offensive series.
But it wasn't just San that
Francisco,
they punted.
San Francisco threw a pick six on their first offensive series.
It wasn't just
series.
That they punted, and it's the fact that they took no time off the clock, which is that's how you get Christian McCaffrey with 20 touches yes, versus
is,
your 19 total plays in the first half.
Because they passed the ball.
And that's why the defense was detrimental. Worn passing all the way down.
Passing well, the ball and, takes no time off yeah, the clock. I mean, A.K.A. Pac-12 after dark.
Pac-12 after dark time. That drive that the 49ers mounted in the second quarter, where it felt like the drive went for like, what did it take, like 12 minutes off the clock or something
it
like that.
It was 14-14. I was like, how is there so much time left in the first half?
And that was about the Bears' defense, even more than it was about the Bears' offense. But yes, if the Bears' offense was sustaining drives early, the defense wouldn't have been in the position to have to be on the field. But at some point, the defense has to go on the field, and they need to come up with stops. But the Bears' offense itself, okay, I yada-yada through the first two punts. And then they went on a scoring barrage. They didn't wait until halfway through the
right.
third quarter,
yes.
as we've seen them do frequently
fair.
This season.
That's fair.
So I did feel very encouraged and extremely impressed because, one, it was a pass-dominant performance, which I don't leave that game thinking that Ben Johnson has forgotten about running the football or doesn't value running the football. I'm taking the big picture of this into account. That one game last night, Ben Johnson went into it and said, I think we can carve these guys up from the pocket. And I think I have a quarterback who is now at a point in his development where I can trust him to consistently do that. And they did. Did they move the pocket some? Yes, there were some boots. There was some sprint action. There was plenty of run game. But there was also just Ben Johnson saying, Caleb, stand there and sick him. And he did. And he did it without Romadunze. He did it with DJ Moore as a shell of himself, seemingly within the game plan. And still, he was able to just stand there, see the field. I don't know what the time to throw, but it was seemingly to me one of his better and more consistent just in hitting that back foot, going from punch step to plant foot and just getting the ball out of his hands very consistently. Loved what I saw. And it was in the midst of a game where several of his main playmakers were either unavailable or not at full strength. And he still looked as comfortable as we've seen Caleb look passing from the pocket all year.
And he didn't get sacked for the second game in a row.
And it wasn't because he was running around everywhere. It was because the ball was gone. I mean, the pass protection did break down on occasion. There was some blitz pressure that we saw Robert Saleh throw at him. And still, the ball was out of Caleb's hands to the precise spot it had to be, hitting runners in stride. We saw run after catch from Bears playmakers. I just thought it was a really pristine performance from Caleb.
I also think, I said this earlier, there were times in the game where if I had split the screen horizontally, where all I saw were his feet, I knew whether or not that pass would be complete by how his weight was distributed on his feet. When he locked out his front knee, like Tim Jenkins has talked about, there were a couple of overthrows. But when he was able to at least somewhat equally distribute the weight, we've seen him roll out and sometimes throw off his back leg. That's been incomplete. There were times where it hasn't been because he's that good.
Mm-hmm.
But the footwork seemed like it was more in sync than it has been, even in previous games where I think it's shown a lot of improvement.
And those mechanical breakdowns, through my lens, have tended to happen, especially through the first half of the season, where Caleb is kind of playing catch-up with the play. I'm not quite sure what I'm seeing from the defense. I'm not quite confident where my pass receiver is going to be. And then that extra, that millimoment of hesitation makes him feel like he's got to really gun it in there. And so you see a lot of the flat passes with the extra velocity on them where he's kind of catching up to the play. The mechanics are breaking down because he feels hurried. He feels rushed mentally to try and get the ball there. Now what we're starting to see more and more in recent weeks is a Bears quarterback playing ahead of the play, knowing what the defense is presenting, and the mechanics aren't breaking down consistently. And so he's getting the ball out of his hands on time, in rhythm, with accuracy, anticipation, and touch. Because even some of the anticipatory throws we saw from Caleb earlier in the season were heat-seeking missiles. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing a quarterback thrown with touch. Think about that touchdown pass that he threw to Luther Burden, the very first one. There was some late pressure that came through. He couldn't even completely step into the pass, but he lofted it over the hand of the outstretched defender as opposed to trying to get it flat and see if he could maybe throw it through the ear of the defender. He confidently and comfortably floated the ball over to that back pylon towards the end zone, and Burden makes a great catch. That, to me, is the continual growth of this quarterback.
Were you surprised that the Bears did not what?
Did it please you? I can buy myself flowers.
Oh, no. Oh, man. He's singing to me. He's doing it. He's saying, no, it's all right. As long as I'm not.
I'm just going to let you get your question.
I'm going to go back to singing.
Don't distract Ant. A song will fill the brain.
Oh, no, absolutely. The man loves to sing, and he does it with a smile on his face. And you can hold the tune a little bit.
I appreciate that.
I do appreciate that about you, even if you don't think I do. I want you to know that.
Okay.
It's just when I'm sitting over there that I don't like to be sung to. When I, you know what I mean?
What the heck?
You're trying to run NASA over there, as Layla does on a daily basis. I don't need to be sung to.
It's like landing a battleship daily. Right now. Are you there?
Yeah. There's a lot going on in that chair.
I mess with you. I was just like, what?
What is happening?
It's so bad. I always do that to Grody.
You did I love it. Right? I love
Wait, what did you ask
Grody?
That pleased him, though?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What the question I was about to ask you, are you surprised the Bears did not win on that final drive? Did you think they were going to win? Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. And also surprised that it seemed disjointed at the end. I didn't have any issue with the hook and ladder play call. It was like the immediate question that began pouring in to me from folks who were around me. Like, did you hate the play call? Because I hated the play call. No, I didn't hate the play call.
It's a low-hanging fruit,
It would have been even better if it worked, but it didn't work. There was still time to go and spike the ball and run another snap. I had no issue with that. But I was surprised then that the final play did seem disjointed, where it was kind of like the offensive line didn't look like they knew who to block.
Discombobulated.
Are we running the motion? Are we not running the motion? And then Caleb's just kind of running around everywhere. Still had a chance to complete a pass, give his playmaker an opportunity, and then, you know, it just throws a worm burner out there. But I was surprised, and partly because it seemed disjointed, because that's really where this squad has been at their best. Throughout the season, they have seemed prepared. They have seemed at their most precise, most consistently in those moments, in those snaps where the game is on the line. And that wasn't the case last night in that final play.
Here's my concern, Ant. The Bears have a bottom five total defense in the NFL. They have a bottom five rushing defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. They made up for that all season because they take the ball away.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe they'll take the ball away in the postseason like they do in the regular season, because the level of quarterback play is about to take a serious jump up, depending on the competition. Mm. So is there any way you can see this? Because we already addressed the fact that we can't fix the defense.
Yeah.
Is there any way you could see the Bears advancing without Caleb literally just putting, not literally, but metaphorically, putting the team on his back and having a performance like the one we saw Sunday night?
I think there's glimpses, Jalen Johnson, just to address the defensive part of it. I believe there's glimpses Jalen Johnson is getting better, is getting stronger physically each week. And perhaps even part of that is the confidence and the willingness to make sudden movements. Like that first interception where he saw it, he recognized it, immediately drove on that route. I took that as a positive sign, because that was a planting his feet and converting out of the pedal into the drive phase and converting on that route. That looked more sudden than the Jalen Johnson we've seen. Now, he didn't play every snap of the game on defense. He may not be physically capable of that as of yet, but I think there's signs of growth from Jalen Johnson. We'll see. You know, Nashawn Wright came back into the game. He took that ding, left, got evaluated, came back in. Hopefully he's going to be fine, but the health, the relative health of the secondary and the playmaking ability there. I mentioned the rust of Tremaine Edmonds, that I think between he and TJ Edwards. I thought TJ Edwards looked really good last week. Thought he looked okay last night, but a 49ers offense that put some hesitation into that defense. So I think the back seven of the Bears defense, there's another level of play available to them. And if that's really strong, then the Bears D line, like Andrew Billings, hits blocks. So if you get more of that, then I think at least the run defense stands a better chance, and you get opponents into predictable downs and distances. That's where the Bears defense can be at its best as far as just taking the rock away. They're not going to be a crew that just stymies the run every single snap. But I think just the incremental growth that can be there, that can show up with some of the rest being knocked off, hopefully, I think there's a chance for that defense to grow, where Caleb doesn't have to be the guy shouldering the load as he and the passing attack did last night.
That's Anthony Heron. We thank you for joining us. You can catch his work on 670 The Score.
True.
You can hear him on the Big Ten Network
also
as well.
Also true.
True.
And on Fox 32 for the Bears shows.
I'm also there.
And that should be a lot more fun too. And Blitz. Yeah.
Yep. Bears Blitz and Bears Game Day Live.
Like I said, et cetera covers it better than we could.
Yeah, I just got done with some Cotton Bowl Media Day. Got Rose Bowl Media Day later on the Big Ten Network. Got Sirius XM Big Ten this morning. It's a lot of Big Ten happening in this world now.
Oh, yeah, there is.
People think they can win national championships and whatnot.
Well, it's the U against the Ohio State University Buckeyes. You don't seem excited.
I remember what happened the last time I had to avert my eyes when it was a big time game. People's legs were broken and snapped.
I'm sorry.
Oh my god, that takes
Willis McGahee.
Yes. Yeah.
That 2001 Miami. Dude, 01 Miami.
Me too.
Yeah.
Right. Probably the greatest college team of all time.
That was quite a collection of talent. Now, there's a recent USC squad right around that time that's in a similar category. Nah, but yeah.
Dude, Hall of Famers? I don't know, man. That's when you look up late. The Meatball Machine is next. Ant, you're welcome to stay, but I know you're a man of many jobs, and you're dressed up today. So.
You are dressed up today. I mean, you put me to shame.
Ant broke out the three-piece suit today.
The vest looks good. You wear vest well.
My vest does look nicer than your t-shirt. What t-shirt do you have?
Wow.
That would be one Clayton Bigsby of the Chappelle Show.
All right, yeah. I can dig it.
So, Ant, if you want to hang out for Meatball, you can. If not, we understand.
I'm going to skedaddle. I'm going to get a cookie before I skedaddle.
Get the Take the North cookies,
I'm
for
do
sure.
That. All right.
Coming up next, you know what time it is. Machine.
Yes. Does it please you? I mean, is that something
you fondue? Oh. Doesn't please me, but it's good to see. Good to hear him out there doing that. And that means he's doing.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, check out this meatball machine.
The meatball machine must have been filled with some twists and turns last night. Adam Studzinski of the Take the North podcast had to sort through all the meatballs. What'd you think, Adam?
Okay, well, I thought that people generally kept the spirit of this, of what this is intended to be. This was some negative, but largely positive.
Okay.
And I haven't personally had to dig through these in a while, so it was nice to hear how positive things have gotten. I don't know if this has been super typical, but anyway, you guys want to hear some?
Give me my meatballs, buddy. We like having a different person to sift through the meatballs every
extra
now
sauce.
And then. Yeah, keeps it fresh.
We're getting a little tired of the other guys.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
Brody Pot Stirrer Mark is here to be silly.
What do those guys do?
We're still waiting for a full-time participant over there.
Oh, jeez. Okay, yeah. Meatballs.
Yeah.
Mark.
What?
Coming to you live from Burbank, California. Fourth quarter, four seconds left in the game. Bears line up in shotgun. Takes a snap. Oh, breaks the huddle. Bears lose. That's okay. We're still kings of the North.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite one, so I started on a high note.
It's amazing.
Good job, Studs.
The people in the background were perfect.
Throw the ball!
And also Burbank. Interesting. Also amusing. That was fantastic.
This was kind of like a game of Madden where neither player knows how to play defense. And the only saving grace is bad passes from pick sixes and dropped passes.
Didn't he sound a little bit like the guy from Office Space, the stapler guy? Just a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, and you know Kevin what both Wharton of those guys were? Yeah. Powerful.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen my stapler?
Yes. That's swing pretty
line.
Good, Marshall.
It's a swing line.
Oh, my God. That was the worst Bears performance ever.
What?
That defense should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
And that defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen, should be fired at the end of the season. Oh. He's shown nothing the entire season, and he had a full roster today. I don't know what else you could say other than they were embarrassing to watch. I don't care how that game ended. Totally embarrassing to be a Bear fan today.
Okay, so pause it for a second. Did I or did I not warn you three of this very fan in the pre-show meeting?
You did.
Did I?
Yeah, but
you
there's
did.
Only been one. Like, for the most part.
So far.
The text lines have not indicated
the text
that.
The text line's
been kind of questionable.
That was the story. I mean, the Bears' defense was bad last
but
night.
But the offense was also good. It wasn't like it was just about
the
defense.
Which is why it's kind of a conflicting day here at the Score.
Okay, resume. Sorry.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. The Bears are who we thought they were.
Ooh.
That offense is electric. Caleb Williams is the man. I'm so glad I got my son a jersey of his for Christmas. But, oh, my gosh, that defense is butt. Take whatever money you gave to Montez Sweat and go get Max Crosby because we need a pass rush bad. There's no way that we can win anything of significance without a defense. And that's what we need. We need a pass rush.
He said butt.
He did.
He said it again.
The Bears just proved that they can hang with the best in the NFC. Almost won that game, but just like when they were in Green Bay, came a little bit short. They'll have a home playoff game, and after that, after they win, nobody knows what's going to happen. So, Super Bowl, Super Bears!
Okay. It was reasonable, and then it got unreasonable.
Super Bowl?
Bears?
Unreasonable?
That one I had to make. It was, his sound was so overmodulated, too. I had to clean that up. That was the clean version.
Listen, Adam, they're going to be the Bear. Are there more?
Oh, we got more.
Let's go.
The Bears haven't played in a shootout like this in 10 years.
Shootout.
Treat next week like preseason game 3. Rest, guys, and let's go. Bear down.
Would you like to say something, Mr. Harris?
What is wrong with these people? Do they not understand that you have to get the highest seed possible so that you can host games so that you can advance?
I'm going to need you guys to reassess resting people on Sunday. I'm going to need everybody to be as petty as hell. I need you out there for the love of the game and the love of avenging your opponents.
I love that we're on the same page, but for two completely different reasons.
Marshall just wants the Bears to take the game seriously, and I'm like, take yourselves seriously.
Take the North seriously.
They already took the North.
In the words of the Cash Money crew, show me my opponent, throw me my opponent.
Nice.
Yo, meatball. Yeah, I got two quick things. This is the morning after. It's kind of like the negotiator when Samuel Jackson was saying, you want my blood, take my blood. I just want to tell Luther, you want my quad, take my quad. Here it is. Whatever you need, we are here for you. I want you healthy. Take a week off. Don't care. And Bears fans in perspective, I want you to think of this. This is off the subject as far as the game, but keep this in mind. The New York Jets in the third quarter were down 35-3 and did a fake punt twice on the same damn drive.
At the My same God. Damn drive.
We're going to be fine. Maybe the defense, but I think we're going to be fine. I trust Ben. I trust Caleb. Let's go.
Oh, that was a disappointing loss. Caleb looked good. The defense looked awful. We need to do something with the line for next year. This is not a Super Bowl team now.
All right, and this is the last one.
I take back every unfair criticism I put on Caleb Williams this year. For a man in his second season, he really has done so damn much. And he, along with Ben Johnson and this coaching staff, is clearly one of the main reasons this team is 11-4 right now. But The reason why this team is probably going to be 11-5 after the end of the night is because this mother defense couldn't stop me if I put on pads and stood behind that offensive line of the 49ers out there. What the ever loving is wrong with this defense?
Nice.
Okay.
You know what?
I feel like this was an accurate sample.
I enjoyed that meatball machine maybe as much as any meatball machine I've enjoyed all season long because of the range. Like, think about what we started with, by the way. Do you remember way back when?
Play-by-play.
That was, throw the ball!
Yep. The truth was told there.
Instead of saying, throw the ball, complete the pass! That would have worked also. Because he threw it. He did end up throwing it. I need him to complete the pass.
People on the meatball machine a little more disappointed than they thought they'd be, but it's the meatball machine. That's the essence, right? That's the essence.
They
meatballs.
Also just don't like bad defense. Meatballs and bad defense don't go together.
It offends their Chicago football sensibilities.
Hey, the guy who hated San Francisco, that hate goes back to 1984.
Mario?
How many years ago is that?
That'd be 31 years.
31 years ago.
No, I'm sorry, 41 years.
41, yeah. I just accepted that. I just accepted
well,
that.
Well, usually I'm spot on with anything that comes in my mouth when it comes to math.
Well, that's why I looked at
my
you
bad,
when
my
I
bad,
asked the
Mark.
Question. You're the math person in this group. It's okay.
It's okay. I'm getting old. What do you want from me?
It's okay.
It happens. They told us there would be no math. They did tell us that Spiegel and Holmes would be next.
I see them.
There's Lawrence. Oh, he's got his... Is that orange? Is that Bears orange he's wearing right there?
That's a yoga shirt.
Oh, yeah, so disappointing.
On the score.
Thought maybe it was Bears.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.